So how are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing well.
And you were actually here one time. Best morning show I ever did.
I can never remember all of it, but I think I do. I mean, because we were up there, because I ended up going over to Long Island, I think. And I'm being Glens Falls.
Glens Falls, yeah.
And how far away is that from you guys?
A couple of hours. That's
okay.
That's another hour north of Albany, right on the same highway, pretty much. And you'll be at the top of the Hudson River.
Yep. Well, we ought to come when I'm up there in March. We ought to come do a seminar or something and down there. I mean, that'd be fun.
Be fine with me. That'd be fantastic. Yeah, that's great. Anything you want to do is great. I said, man, this guy is awesome.
My thing is always, if I'm going to be there, I might as well take advantage of the time. And I always told people, I always make more money, but I can't make more time. And so that's where I want to make sure we're taking advantage of it. So
very good point.
How's the weather for you guys now?
Right now, it's pretty typical. It's cold in the morning, and then, today it's going to be like 50, but usually it's kind of in the 40s, but it depends on where you are, because if you're at Glens Falls, you know, you're in the southern Adirondacks, so you could be about 10 degrees cooler at least, and maybe getting a little bit of snow overnight now kind of thing, you know? So the Hudson Valley, where we are, is really at sea level. Which I thank God every day for that, because that means it's a little bit milder.
Yeah.
You know, that's a blessing right there, I'll tell you that. John, your mustache, it's still going, man. That's unbelievable.
Well, I can't get rid of it now.
No.
I mean, it's just something that's stuck, and people know me by that more than anything else, it seems like.
Did that start?
Which is kind of sad when that's all you're known by, so.
No, it's not. That's all right. Did that start with you when? How old were you when you started, when you grew a mustache?
Oh, when I was 18.
No kidding.
I did the pre-Olympic thing in 72, swimming, and Mark Spitz was the guy with the mustache. He kind of ushered the mustaches back in. So during my senior, I kept trying to grow out a mustache, and I used to steal my mom's mascara to fill it in, and... And so I just kept it going. And I've had it since my senior year of high school. So.
If you ever shaved it off, I wouldn't recognize you. You wouldn't be Mark Gregston anymore.
Oh, I know. I know. And it was so funny because getting into radio, I really thought, I mean, I wear boots, I wear jeans,
right.
I have a mustache. I look a little bit different than a lot of people. And I just thought, they're not going to take me. They're not going to let me in. You know, they're not going to let me into the club. And that's what I kind of thought. But now I'm just known, he's that guy with the mustache. So anyway, I leave it alone. It works.
In case people don't know you by your mustache, they know you as the founder of Heartlight Ministries. Have you gotten to 30 years of that ministry yet?
Yeah, it's this year.
Yeah, wow.
In fact, I'm writing that. I flew back from Branson, Missouri last night, and I was, I started to write a letter just about, hey, we're entering our 30th year, and which is just so hard for me to imagine. I just go, it's crazy. And I mean, I haven't slowed down. I mean, I spent about 200 nights on the road, so I'm always running and running, but, you know, you just don't have time to stop and go, wow, it's been 30 years. It seems like we just started yesterday.
You're busier than the newsboys, Mark, I tell you.
Crazy. It's crazy. I mean, it's wonderful. And I like it, and we sure have invested a lot in helping parents, but it really is, I don't know, time flies. And that's what surprises me is that, and that's what my mom always used to say, it flies, but it gets faster.
That's
I believe that to be true.
It's absolutely true. You have redeemed the time. If you haven't caught Mark's program here on The Sound of Life, you know, just for a minute every day, man, those words of wisdom add up. Got the book Parenting Today's Teens and Others, Prayers for My Teen. That's fabulous. How many books?
12 books in
12.
The last 10 years.
I didn't get
that. Crazy?
Wow, man, it's flowing out.
I know, and I don't even read books. I mean, that's the crazy thing is that somebody said, you need to write a book. I go, I don't even read books. Why is that? I mean, I read articles as long as there's a lot of pictures and stuff, and I don't read a whole lot. I read research and some articles, and I keep up with stuff on the internet and just, you know, news and everything else, but I don't read a whole lot. And even the radio thing, when somebody said, Mark, you need to be on the radio, I just said, hey, I don't want to do that. Why would I want to do that? You know,
exactly.
Kind of thing. And so it has been somewhat interesting, but it's been like most of my life. Nothing's been planned, and it's kind of happened. And all I do is go, how do we help more kids? That's been my basis forever. How do we help more kids? And so if we can do it through writing a book, then I'll do it. If nobody's going to buy it, I'm not going to waste the time writing it, you know, that kind of thing. But this is a book we did on this grandparenting thing. Man, this thing has been crazy. I never thought I'd write a book on grandparenting.
It either surprised me, too.
Yeah, and it was, and Bill and Gloria Gaither were the ones who said, you need to do it. And I really thought, well, I'm not that old. I mean, you guys are old. You're like dinosaurs. I'm not there yet. And they go, yes, you are. You have a 17-year-old. They said, you have a 17-year-old granddaughter.
Woo!
And I went, well, you're right. So they invited me to come speak at one of their events. And so I'm standing there before 10,000 people, and the place went nuts, just laughing and having a good time. And I thought, you know what? There is a need. But the greater need is even having grandparents involved in the life of their teen grandchildren, because they need a source of wisdom and a place to place to go where they can get some help. And I think grandparents have a role to play in that. I don't think God's keeping all of us around just so we can, you know, all go to Florida and play shuffleboard. Oh. I think it's more that he is very intentional about wanting to use us in the life of our grandkids. And those people in their 70s and 80s can, you know, well, are going, well, maybe even your great-grandkids. But I think it's desperately needed, though.
Who was it? John Piper just said that. What are you going to show the creator of the universe? Your seashell collection? Really? I said, whoa, baby.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Look at what I've collected all my life. That, you know what? It's going to be sitting one day on a table at a spring garage sale. And it's going to go for, like, nothing.
Man,
and there's
going to
be people that won't even want it, you know, and I go. And I learned that a long time ago. I lost my, when I was a kid, we lost our home in a flood, in a hurricane. And then when I got back after my first year of college, right before I got married, we lost our home in a tornado. So I know what it's like to lose everything. But there's another time that you'll lose it as well. And you won't take any of it with you. So you might as well give it away now and have fun with it with your grandkids. And motivate them and just enjoy the time and the opportunity that you have to influence them in such a way that they can go, man, I love my grandparents. I love my grandparents.
Well, what is the what's the role that a grandparent can play in a teenager, in the life of a teen? And that's where a lot of grandparents find themselves.
Well, you know, I think it's this. Have you ever noticed how older men, their ears keep growing? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
They just keep growing and growing.
The wrong stuff keeps growing.
Yeah. But I think there's something about that he wants older men to listen more to kids. And I think the need is so great. The role isn't to be another parent in their life. I let my kids parent their kids. Even when I think they're wrong, I'm still going to support them. I'm not going to contradict them. I'm going to support them even when I think they're wrong. But my role as a grandparent is to engage with my grandchild so they know when they come to my home, it's a respite, it's a retreat, it's a place that they are affirmed and encouraged, not corrected, not told what they've done wrong, how they need to do it different. I don't feel like I have to do the things that they do, so I got to spend all my time on an Xbox or be listening to the same music to relate to them. What they want more than anything else is a source of wisdom, because they're not getting it from the world that they live in. They're struggling with how to take what they've been taught, all those biblical principles and ideas and thoughts and comments and concerns that parents have shared with them. How do I take that and apply it to a world that is so contrary to all of our beliefs, and they need help doing that? And it's not just sharing more information. It's sharing wisdom that comes from the heart of a grandparent who's observed a lot of things in life and has reflected on those things and has also experienced a ton of things. And so if there's a place to connect with a grandchild, that's wonderful. I connect with my grandkid, the two oldest grandkids, 17 and 12, through country music. They love country music. So I take them to the Country Music Awards, the Country Music Festival. I take them to concerts to see different people. And that's how I have found a place to do that. And so I'm always thinking, how can I do that with them? And so if you have that ability, that's wonderful. But if not, the connection is the gray hair, the wisdom, and the listening big ears that I think everybody a little bit older should be know, almost showing to their grandkids.
Sure, our friends.
Let them know that there's a place.
Yeah, I'm sure our friends are probably thinking, I'm not as cool as Mark Gregson, though. So I don't know. But that's just a given. We're never going to get there. But
Come on.
You know, this may be kind of sensitive. I don't know. But I bet a lot of grandparents from families around here are in Florida already.
No, they are. And so there may be a way to relate to them. And I tell grandparents, spend some time. Don't think that you just leave and get away to go hang out with another group of old people just so you can die. That's not you. Out of all the people that have lived to age 65 and older since the beginning of mankind, to 65 and older, 82% of those people are alive today. And I would venture to say that many are sitting back going, I'm done. I'm used up. And I go, you know, I'm one of those guys that just go, I'm never going to be used up and done. I mean, I don't hear the word retirement in my life. I'm just going to switch gears and do more of the things that I want to do and have fun. But it is going to be leaving a legacy with my grandkids. Because beyond my grandkids, nobody will remember me. I mean, unless my books will become outdated, nobody will listen to radio programs after I'm gone. I mean, it's all those things. I go, because times change quick. But beyond your grandkids, you're not going to be known. Unless you're a rock star or you've committed some horrendous crime. And so if that's the case, then maybe what I do is invite my grandkids down to come spend some time down on the beach in Florida. And I fly them down. I spend the time. I spend some of the money that I've got. I get them there and make sure that we have a great time when they do come down so that they can remember you from experiences of today, not from experiences that happened 40 years ago where the stories just get worn out and nobody wants to talk about it anymore. And the other thing is, Grandma, Grandpa, quit talking about all your medical issues to your grandkids. You are boring them out of their mind, and they don't want to hear about all those things. That may be what's going on in your life, but you got to nip it when it comes to that because that has a tendency of pushing them away.
Oh, I love that. Was that the thing that you learned? No, not Mark Gregson would never do that. But
you know what? I have learned that from I have watched my dad. I'm embarrassed to even say what he talks about. I'm just sitting there looking at him, going, "Really? Is this what we're talking about? I mean, there's ointment for that." This cannot be how the pilgrims spent Thanksgiving. This cannot be how people are supposed to spend the holidays sitting around in a room talking about different body parts. That's not what your grandkids want. They want to hear how you made it through life and how I can take timeless truth of Scripture and apply it to a world that has gone crazy. And I'm not an anti-world kind of guy, but I'm one of those guys that thinks that there's timeless truth. And our job as parents and grandparents is to help engage our kids in such a way that they are looking at us going, God, when I'm with him, I hear things that I've never heard before. I understand things like I've never heard before. There's some things that he's left an impact on me because he taught me about these things. That's how I want to be known, and I think that's how God wants to use us in the life of our grandkids.
Do you do, and I feel embarrassed for asking you this, social media, tweeting, and things like that? Mm-hmm. You're on doing all
well,
that?
Well, you know, I'm on Facebook, and, you know, and just occasionally we'll post things, but I do it so I can see pictures of my grandkids and make comments and tell people happy birthday and stuff. I don't spend a whole lot of time doing Instagram, even though my wife does. With our grandkids, and they keep up with each other. But even texting, I mean, my granddaughter wrote me 20 minutes ago, and she goes, Papa, what are you doing for, this 12-year-old, Papa, what are you doing for lunch? Can we go eat lunch? And I'm going, I mean, they're out of school, and I'm going, well, yeah, we can go eat lunch, because I'll pretty much drop anything to spend time with her. But I go, it's another form of communication, and that I'm always going to try as long as I can to learn how to engage with them in their ways, not always saying, well, we need to sit down and have a talk. You need to write me a letter. Kids don't even spend time writing emails anymore.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just quick little texts back and forth, or they're on Snapchat, but very few of them are on Facebook. I mean, they're Instagram and Snapchat right now, but, you know, give it a give it a few months, and that'll change again.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, but I'm just trying to always figure out ways. How do I engage with them so that I don't lose the opportunity to share the wisdom that I've gained through life? But I know this as a grandparent, you have to be intentional about sharing those things. The fact that you're known about how you make a chocolate cake is wonderful, but there's nothing eternal about that. The fact that you can fish, that's neat. Or you can play golf, that's wonderful, but there's nothing eternal about that. You know, there's something that I just want to make sure that I'm pouring myself into the heart of somebody else in such a way that it's not about the things that I do, but it's more about who I am, that it's more about my presence that is so important than the gifts that I give. You know what I'm saying? That maybe it's more about my presence than the presence
right.
I give.
Yeah.
And that ought to be a title of a book. Maybe
I like
I'll start
that.
On that one.
I like
so.
That, too. you have to get approval.
Somebody. I don't know.
From the Gaithers, it sounds like.
There you go.
Pretty much everything they've said you ought to do to somebody then turned out all right. So, including leaving a legacy of hope there. So when I read this, then my takeaway is going to be I'm going to be active with my grandkids, I guess, right? I'm fired up for that changing.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. You know, I write in the book. A guy told me yesterday, I write in the book. I start out one of the chapters, and I go, look, I can promise you these three things. The first thing is you're going to die after reading this book. The second thing is it's going to happen sooner than you think.
Mm.
And the third thing is it's not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. And he goes, well, I'm pretty much not going to read the book then.
Oh, wow. But that, okay.
But the truth of it is we're all going to be gone one day, you know, and we've got that all mapped out. And, we go, hey, no. But the truth is we're going to be gone. And if we are, what does that look like? What is that? How am I going to be remembered? How will somebody think of me? What will be written on my gravestone? Is it going to be, here's Mark Gregston. He had a mustache. Here's Mark Gregston. He was on the radio. Here's Mark Gregston. He wrote so many books. Nobody's going to care about that stuff. And it doesn't mean anything to anybody. But it may be that, you know, here's Grandpa. He was a fun man who I never was able to spend enough time with. Those are the kind of things that I want grandparents to learn how to engage in such a way that they are remembered in wonderful, wonderful ways for as long as their grandkids live.
Ooh, I know your wisdom comes through. See, just by being around Mark Gregson, the wisdom comes through. Comes through the mustache. That was my joke. But, man, I appreciate
there
it. I really, if you can work it out, you're welcome. I mean, you know, have your people let me know, and then we'll do it.
Okay.
I appreciate that very, very much. And got books to give away. It's going to be exciting. Really appreciate
cool.
you, man.
Cool.
All right.
Wonderful.
So keep on
okay,
going.
Okay, man.
God bless you, man.
All right. Well, take care. Hey, have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too.
Well.
Okay. Yeah,
you're
going to be on the ranch, I guess, right? And
I will.
Doing
I'll be
all,
home for
man.
A few days, and then it's Portland, Oregon, and Tampa, Florida, and Washington, D.C., and then I get to come home and I get to come home and we're going to go spend Christmas in Mexico.
No way. Wow. That's pretty something.
It's just a way to get away and get away. We're taking the grandkids.
Good to talk with you. God bless
you.
All right.
All right, man.
Thank you, Mark.
See
okay.
You.
Okay. All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.